Good morning. My name is Emma Blair, and today I will be reading Philippians 4, 12, and 13. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, 12, and 13.
Hey, good morning, West Bowles Community Church. How are you? Good, good. My name is David Perez. I'm the associate minister. And if you joined us last week, no, I am not preaching 2 weeks in a row, so you don't have to hear from me. And that also means we might get out of here on time. Who clapped? Oh, gosh. Oh, that hurts. Wow. All right. Well, instead, this morning, you all get to hear, and we get to hear, from Charity Kettle. Now, for those of you with kids, you're familiar with Charity. But for those of you who do not have kids or whose kids are older, Charity is our kids ministry director. And she, alongside a whole lot of volunteers, some of which who you saw this morning, put on VBS this week. And I've heard nothing but good things, guys. So can we actually give Charity and every single volunteer one more hand? Great job, guys. Well, week in and week out, Charity really does put in a lot of hard work to run our kids' ministry. She cares so much for our kids and their families, and her passion for the Lord and the families here at church really is contagious. So we are truly blessed here at West Bowles to have Charity as the kids' ministry director, and I am so excited to hear what the Lord is going to speak through you to us. So with that, Charity, I'm going to go and welcome you on up, and let's give her a hand.
All right. Well, good morning, you guys. I am so glad that you are here. Thank you, David, for that awesome introduction. He makes me sound cooler than I am. So thank you, guys. We are so glad that you are here with us on VBS Sunday. This is such a wonderful morning that we get to really celebrate the kids and celebrate what God is doing through them, right? Since I am the kids' ministry director, you guys are going to get a tiny little glimpse into what it looks like to teach at either VBS or junior church here, because I'm going to start with a question for the kids. So, grown-ups, feel free, think of your own answers. I encourage you to, but we're going to talk to the kids first. Kids, are you guys ready for this? Yeah? Okay, so here's my question. What is something that you avoid because it's hard? Oh, so raise your hand if you have something. Joseph. Math. Joseph avoids math. It's hard. What else? What else? Climbing a mountain by yourself. That is very hard. Paige. Oh, so she avoids going on her mountain bike because she has a road bike, so those trails are hard, right? Danielle, answering questions. That's a good one. I love it. Great job, girl. Miss Riley, building a house. Wow, these kids have some intense things that they avoid, huh? All right, what's yours, hon? Making a puzzle with paper what? Oh, paper puzzles. Oh, making paper puzzles. Yeah, that's hard. Anybody else have a hard time doing paper puzzles? They're too flimsy, right? That's so hard. Okay, so now my next question is, you guys had some really good things that you avoid doing, right? Now, what about people? Do anybody in here, do you guys avoid people who are hard to get along with? Yeah, you can raise your hand. It's fine. I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. So, kiddos, I am guessing that if you have ever encountered a bully, that you probably avoid them, right? Whether you encountered them at school or the park or maybe somewhere else. If you're at school, you probably sit on the other side of the lunchroom, right? Or maybe if you go to a park, maybe you're going to ask whoever takes you to the park to go to a different one. Middle school, high schoolers, my guess is if you guys have encountered a bully, you might go find a different path through the hallways at school to avoid them, right? So we can go to some pretty extreme measures to avoid doing hard things, right? But here's the thing. We are not the first ones to do that. We are not the first ones that have had to deal with hard things, and we certainly will not be the last. But luckily for us, Paul has some things to say about dealing with hard things. He has some experience with that, right? So this morning, you guys, we are going to look at Philippians 4. Now, the entire book of Philippians is a letter to the church in Philippi. So when we're at chapter 4 here, we're at the last section of Paul's letter. And guess what? He decides to talk about two women in the church. Okay, their names are Euodia and Syntyche. You guys ever heard of names like that? No, I haven't either. But they're in the Bible. So he's talking about Euodia and Syntyche, and they were both leaders in the church in Philippi. So they had worked together before, but for some reason now, they were arguing. They were fighting. They were divided. They were probably avoiding each other, right? So we have no idea what they were fighting about. Paul doesn't tell us what the issue was between them, but what we do know is that it mattered enough for him to include it in his letter to the church. So why do people fight sometimes? Kids, maybe you guys fight because your friend doesn't want to play the same game as you, right? Or they said something that hurt your feelings. What if you disagree about the rules of a game, right? Or somebody takes something that belongs to you? All those things can start fights, right? Now, adults, honestly, that doesn't really change a whole lot when we grow up, does it? People see things differently, right? We don't always agree on things. We can disagree about our parenting, about politics, about opinions, priorities, expectations. Sometimes we simply don't understand the other person, and that can cause a fight. So these two women, they might have been arguing about something that happened between them, but what if it was something different? What if there was something personal happening with one or both of them? So guys, have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels wrong? Maybe you're sad, you're frustrated, you're overwhelmed, and instead of talking about it, you take it out on the people around you. Ugh. So kids, maybe you guys got a bad grade on a test, or you got heard out at recess. Maybe you had a hard situation at home that morning, and instead of telling your friends what happened, something sets you off, you get angry, and you walk away. Anybody had a day like that? Adults, anybody had a day like that? Yeah, right? We all have things like that that happen. So maybe something like that is what was going on with Euodia and Syntyche. We will probably never know why they were fighting, but we do know this. They were divided, and Paul believed that reconciliation was important. So do you guys know what reconciliation means? No, it's a big word. In this situation, reconciliation means to mend or fix the relationship, okay? So Paul wanted them to come back together and to work side by side again. Now, why would that be so important? Well, we're gonna see what Paul says, okay? So I'm gonna be in Philippians 4, and we're just gonna go right to 4:2. So this is what Paul says. He says, here is what I am asking Euodia and Syntyche to do. I am asking them to work together in the Lord. That is because they both belong to the Lord. So hear that again. I'm asking them to work together in the Lord because they both belong to the Lord. You guys, our goal as Christians is to share Jesus with the world, right? We want to share that love that we've experienced with as many people as possible. And that is really hard to do if we are constantly divided and fighting with each other. We need to be working together to achieve this goal, right? Jesus told us that following him would not always be easy, but it would always be worth it. So relationships can be hard. Forgiveness can be hard. Working through a disagreement can be really hard. So how do we get through hard things? Well, I think it all depends on where we look. Are we looking at our circumstances and what is right in front of us? Or are we looking to the one who is bigger than all of our circumstances? In Philippians 4:4-5, Paul says to rejoice and let God's graciousness be known to everyone because the Lord is near. So I want you guys to think about that for a minute. God is not far away. We don't have to travel somewhere special to talk to him. And guess what? We don't even have to earn his attention. He is already right here with us. He is always near. But too many times we are focused on the problem. And we think that that's the only thing there is, right? This problem seems huge. And we miss the fact that God is already here. So kids, what are some problems that you guys focus on? Yes. Math problems. We have a math theme going this morning. Math problems are hard, and we focus on those. What's another problem that you focus on? Yes. Having people not play with you? Oh, right? Rude. That is a problem. Yes. What's a problem you focus on? Ooh, focusing on a tool that dad wants her to use. That's a problem because she doesn't know how to use it, right? Benji. Reading. Ah, that's a hard one. And when we focus on that, it seems extra hard, right? Danielle. Oh, not knowing the answers to the questions. I love that. That's a problem, right? Paige, what's another problem you focus on? Making your bed. Oh, that's a problem. It's a problem, huh? You guys, those are some good problems, right? We've got a lot of things that we focus on. But you guys, when we look at these problems, I'm guessing that we think that we have to figure it out all by ourselves. Right? We tend to forget that God is already here with us. We just are looking at the problems. So then in Philippians 4:6, you guys see how I'm going through the chapter, right? So we're at Philippians 4:6. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, bring those worries to God in prayer. And when we do, God gives us peace. So think about that for a minute. The one who is near, the one who provides everything that we need, he gives us peace. Now, here's the tricky part. That does not mean that it's always immediate answers. It does not mean that it's always instant solutions, but it is peace. So, kiddos, maybe some of you guys have experienced that before. Maybe grown-ups too. I don't know. Maybe you've prayed about something, and even though the situation didn't immediately change, somehow your heart did. Maybe you felt calmer, less alone, less afraid. Suddenly, you were looking at something different than the problem. Your focus was somewhere else. So kids, I want you guys to think about that for a minute, okay? Try to remember if you've ever had a time like that, because I need to talk to the grown-ups for a minute. Is that cool? You guys good with that? Okay. Okay. So many of you know that my life has been pretty hard lately. I've had some health issues. I developed an autoimmune disease that sometimes it has made it almost unbearable to walk or to work or even to sleep. After almost 24 years of marriage, I went through a divorce. We had to sell our family home. And my kids and I have moved multiple times since then. And I do not like moving. It's my least favorite thing to do. But we've had to do it. My three absolutely incredible kids no longer have a relationship with their dad. I am working multiple jobs to provide for them. And from the outside looking in, life does not look ideal. And I'm telling you, it's definitely not easy. Now, when people hear this, I get a lot of, how are you still standing? And then some of you, when I have shared some more details, I've gotten, oh my gosh, I had no idea. How are you still so joyful? And as cliche as this is going to sound, the answer really is simple. It's Jesus. I cannot imagine doing any of these hard things without him. I don't know how people do it. I really don't. When Paul talks about the peace of God that surpasses understanding, I think this is exactly what he means. This is not the plan that I had for my life. This is not how I wanted it to go. My kids and I could not avoid doing these really hard things. We couldn't get out of it. But through all of it, God strengthens me, and he's given me peace in every change, in every decision, in every hard time. There's always been peace. Now, not because it's perfect, right? Not, obviously, it is not perfect. But because he has been near to me, and I have felt it. I have felt his presence in every single hard moment, and I continue to feel that. So the strength comes when I'm focusing on him. When my focus shifts to something else, life feels like it's falling apart. I don't know what I'm going to do. But when I can bring that back and focus on Jesus again, I can't help but be joyful. There's no reason not to. So, kiddos, thank you guys for waiting. You were very patient. I appreciate that. So, here's the thing, you guys. If we want peace, if we want to experience that strength from God, we have to shift our focus. Instead of focusing on what is wrong, we start looking for what is good, right? We begin noticing that the gifts, or noticing what gifts God has already given to us. So you guys, I want you to imagine for a minute, okay? You are riding your bike, your scooter, your rollerblades, ripstick, whatever it is that you have, okay? You're riding it down a path. And you come around a corner and there's this massive fallen tree covering the sidewalk where you are riding, okay? Now this tree is huge, okay? It is too big to go over it. It's really, really long. So if you try to go around it, you're going to go into the street, and you might get hurt. So what would you do? What would you do, guys? Danielle? Pick up whatever you're riding and what? And put it over the tree. Okay, but it's too big for you to climb over. Ooh, I know. Shay, what would you do? Okay, so you'd try to go around the other side in the grass maybe. But what if there's a huge hole there because of where the tree came out of? What if there's a snake? I know, right? Yes, buddy. Oh, he would pray to God to pick up his bike and lift it over to the other side for him. Yes. All right, Eliana. Turn around. Turn around and go back. Okay. Yes, buddy. Turn around and go home. Emma. Go on a different path. Connor. Cut the tree. We're going to cut that tree down. Lily. Oh, she'd try and dig under it. So we're going to dig under it too. All right, last one, Kian. Okay, he would call the landscaping company to have them come take care of it, and he's going to take another path. These kids are solving all the world's problems, am I right? You guys are amazing. Those are great. So what I'm going to ask, what I'm wondering is, would any of you ask for help? No. I would. Yeah. Alyssa would. Kian's going to ask the landscaping company for help, right? So what if, What if you asked for help, right? Instead of just looking at the problem that's right in front of you and trying to figure out how you're going to get over, under, around, through this tree, what if you asked for help? We all have people in our lives that will help us when we ask them to, right? And a lot of us, I'm guessing, have people that are willing to help us even when we don't ask. So I'm wondering if maybe part of noticing the gifts that we already have is turning our eyes to the help that God has already given us. So Paul tells us to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, and pure. Think about what is lovely and worthy of respect. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those things. You guys, those things matter. They help us shift our eyes and our hearts from focusing on only what is wrong to noticing what is good. Now, I need you guys to remember this too. Paul wrote this letter while he was under arrest. Okay? He was not sitting comfortably in some coffee shop somewhere, writing to his friends in Philippi. He was in chains and being guarded. And yet, even there, he continued praising God and pointing people toward hope. So to me, that seems like he had shifted his focus from his circumstances to Jesus, right? He was not looking at his chains. He was looking at Jesus. So the second part of our verse this week is Philippians 4:13. I'm guessing everybody in here has heard that, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, sometimes people read this verse by itself and think it means that we should achieve more. We should accomplish more because we have Jesus, right? We should be able to do more because Jesus strengthens us. But when we look at all of chapter 4 in relation to this verse, I think that Paul is getting at something a little bit different. I think that Paul is saying that Christ is the one who strengthens us through all the things. It is not about what I'm doing. It's about where I am looking. When we focus on Jesus, he strengthens us in hard times. He strengthens us in good times. He strengthens us when relationships are broken. He strengthens us when we're feeling overwhelmed. If we look at this whole chapter, it isn't just a call to do more, right? I think that this is a call to stay faithful, stay united, and keep looking to Jesus, especially when life gets hard. So, fun story here. This past January, my kids and I were able to take a trip to Mexico. Quite a few years ago, I decided that I didn't want to give them a whole bunch of Christmas presents that they're just going to forget about in a week, right? So we started doing experiences instead. And sometimes it's more of a staycation, we stick around here, but sometimes we get to do something a little bit bigger or go somewhere a little bit farther away. So we were fortunate enough this year to go to Mexico. And while we were there, we went to this adventure park called Explore Park. And oh my gosh, you guys, it was so fun. We did so many fun things. There was zip lining. We rode amphibious vehicles. Do you guys know what amphibious vehicles are? It's like a car, like a four-wheeler, but you get to drive through everything. We drove through water, dirt, up rocks, through caves. So much fun. They were so much fun. Then we also got to go swimming through underground caves. It was a little creepy, a little scary, but it was so much fun. But one of my favorite things that we did was go on this huge water slide. Does anybody in here like water slides? Anybody water slide fans? Ooh, Derek's like, yes, yes. Water slides. Oh my gosh. You guys, it was so fun. And this water slide had everything. Like the big elements of a water slide that you can think of, they were all in one slide. It was incredible. So my kids and I, we pile onto this big four-person tube. Okay, and we were so excited, but we really didn't know what we were getting into. We knew it was this big water slide, but we couldn't always see what was in front of us. We didn't know what was coming next. We didn't know all these different elements that were on the water slide before we got on. But here we are, we're sitting in our tube, ready to go, and the worker pushes us off. Almost immediately, we go into this 135-foot drop. Oh, oh my gosh, it was insane. We're shooting through the slide, we go through this sphere, and then come out and go up and down the side of this half wave. So I think we have a picture of the half wave. So you guys see, like, it's big. And we went all the way up and all the way down, screaming the entire time. Come down the half wave, and guess what's up next? A whirlpool. So I think, here we go. This is our whirlpool. So we are in this tube. This whirlpool is massive, and we're spinning around and around and around. And right there in the middle, we see the tunnel of where we're headed. That's where we're going to be going next. We had no idea what was on the other side. But you guys, we are screaming, we're laughing, we're going, oh my gosh, what's coming next? We don't know. And then my son Bryson says something that I will never forget. So here we are, holding those tubes, or the handles on the tube, seeing that tunnel coming, and he goes, guys, we're a family, we're together, we can do hard things. And we shot through the tunnel down the rest of the water slide. It was amazing. But you guys, if I can leave you with one final thought this morning, maybe even a challenge. We like to do a lot of challenges in junior church, right? So here is my challenge. Based on our message from Paul to the Philippians and my son Bryson's words to us, this is what I want to leave you with this morning. Stay faithful, stay united, and keep looking to Jesus, because he's the reason we can do hard things. I am going to go ahead and invite the worship team kids back up to the stage while I pray. Will you guys all please pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for today, God. We are just so grateful for everything that you did through VBS this week. Lord, we thank you for the message that Paul gave us in his letter to the Philippians. God, we know that you are here with us. You are always near, and all we have to do is ask for peace from you. Help us to look to you for our strength. Help us to stay faithful, stay united, and keep looking to you through all the hard things in our lives. Lord, we love you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.